You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy and Culture at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. Always glad when you join us. Tell your friends about us as we continue to talk about the great issues facing our country and facing followers of Jesus Christ in these tumultuous times. There is so much we could talk about today. You know, sometimes in the past, I just open a newspaper, and there's usually one story, and it's the obvious subject that we ought to spend a little time on. But in recent days, I'm sure you feel the same way I do. There's just events happening all over the world. Revolution in Iran, what's going on in Venezuela, the whole Greenland dispute and argument. And then there's all these domestic issues that are being heatedly debated. But what I'd like to do is focus on one little piece of America, one little building in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, one single church. On the very weekend, when many churches celebrate Sanctity of Life Sunday, and when our country reflected the next day on the life and legacy of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., we witnessed an ugly and vicious attack on religious liberty. Radical leftists and Marxists stormed City's Church in St. Paul, Minnesota. This was a calculated attempt to intimidate and silence Christians. And so even though you don't live perhaps in St. Paul, Minneapolis, or even in Minnesota, what happened at this church affects every one of us that go to church, every one of us that are followers of Jesus Christ. This was a calculated attempt to silence us. The demonstrators verbally assaulted the Christians that were gathered for worship, and they shut down the church service with their left-wing slogans. I want you to listen to this. This is what it sounded like if you were sitting in that sanctuary Sunday morning with your spouse and your children, listening to God's words. I believe from the reports I've heard, the congregation was getting ready to have communion, to partake of the Lord's Supper. Listen to this. Now, imagine again if you were there with your children. You know, just a few months ago, there was another demonic attack on a church in Minneapolis, St. Paul. That was when the transgender maniac who said himself that he believed he was possessed by demons went to a church, a combination church and school, and opened fire. He ended up killing two little girls and wounding many other children. So when the turmoil started in this church this past Sunday, people screaming, people making loud noises, yelling, you're seeing people beginning to run toward the front of the church. Can you imagine what many people, many of your fellow believers might have thought? I'm sure some of them believed maybe their church was under violent attack. Maybe their children were going to be killed. You know, it's not just that this was happening in the wake of that other deadly attack on a church in the same metro area. We're actually, in our own way, repeating one of the sorriest chapters in American history. During the Civil Rights Movement in the 1960s, led by Dr. Martin Luther King, black churches were set on fire or bombed by haters trying to stop King's drive for equal rights for black men and women. As many, the historians say, as many as 100 black churches were attacked in some way, often by members of the Ku Klux Klan. Other churches regularly received bomb threats that required them to shut down their services. Now, eventually, this wave of attack in the 60s against churches, against black churches, reached its lowest level in Birmingham, Alabama, when a bombing at a black church killed four little girls and wounded over 20 other people. Now, that's worse than anything that happened, obviously, this past Sunday. But there's something interesting here and something disturbing. Back during the era I'm describing in the 1960s, those hateful attacks, those violent attacks on places of worship, on Christian churches, were roundly condemned by everybody, by the leaders of both political parties. The only people that defended that were outright racists and bigots that no one wanted to be around, even as far back as the 1960s. Today, this interruption of this church service, the threatening of people sitting in a worship service, even the attack a few months ago that killed a couple of little girls, there are big-shot politicians, all of them on the political left. I mean, look, we're not partisan at the James Dobson Family Institute. We call the reality whatever it is, and the fact of the matter is that even this past weekend, there were powerful, elected, progressive, left-wing politicians, not only in Minneapolis, but in the state and in other states, that defended this outrageous interruption of a church service. Now, they will tell you that this was all about the immigration issue. And immigration enforcement. My friends, that's not what this was about. Oh, I know that's the excuse the demonstrators were using. Come on. There are thousands of people in the streets in Minneapolis. There are thousands of law enforcement personnel in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And there's been many, many clashes. Why would they suddenly, a group of demonstrators, go to this one Baptist church in St. Paul, Minnesota? The attack on the city's church was not about immigration enforcement or protesting the tactics of federal immigration police. Some claim that what the demonstrators were doing was simply utilizing their freedom of speech. That's not what it was. It's freedom of speech when people can gather inside a church and listen to a sermon. The sermon is being preached by a pastor using his freedom of speech. The people going in to listen to the pastor are listening to the pastor use his freedom of speech, and they are using their right of assembly, and all of them are using their freedom of religion to be doing this together. Freedom of speech does not give radical Marxists or anybody else the right to go into a church and shout down the pastor. That's not freedom of speech. Freedom of speech would be if the demonstrating group waited outside the church and engaged in freedom of speech as people were going into the church, or engaged in freedom of speech when people were leaving the church, as long as they didn't try to intimidate the churchgoers when they went in or when they left. That would be two sides exercising their freedom of speech. Shouting down one side is not freedom of speech. That would mean that freedom of speech was a license for people to just scream at each other. That would result in no one having any freedom of speech. The incident at City's Church was another skirmish in the war over what America is now and what it will be in the future. Will we stay rooted in our Judeo-Christian traditions, or will Christians be marginalized and persecuted in an effort to transform America, which is happening, by the way, this battle in other countries around the world. Now, we are fortunate to have a president right now, an administration, whatever you agree with him on or don't agree with him on, President Trump is committed to protecting our religious liberty. In fact, his election interrupted the left's war on Christian religious freedom. So for now, the federal government is on our side. But make no mistake about it, the neo-Marxist godless left is a powerful force, not just in Minneapolis, but in cities all across America. And it is growing in strength and its numbers. One bad election, and we will be in the crosshairs again. Well, what we saw, those individuals that went into the church and then disrupted the church service, frightening women and children, on Sanctity of Life Sunday, those people were the shock troops of the left. These people are educated in some of our best universities. They are funded by socialist and Marxist groups. They are nurtured by a network of anti-American organizations. And it is not an exaggeration to call them an enemy within our country. We can have civilized disagreements between conservatives and liberals in America. We do that all the time. That's the great wonder of America. We can argue with each other in an election and leading up to election day, and then we can go back to being neighbors the day later. There is no common ground to be found between the people that went into the church and those of us that believe in Judeo-Christian values and the founding ideas of America. The people that went into that church disrupting the worship service do not want common ground. I don't think, even though we have an obligation to try, I don't think we're going to be able to love them out of their hatred. They worship another God, and I say that with a small g, because there's only one God, and that's the God of the Bible. The rioters shouted in the church, they had a duty to win. They intend to win. Look, I know you may not want to hear this. These people are willing to die and even kill for their cause. We've seen it happen over and over again. In fact, the very next day after this unacceptable violation of our Constitution and this threatening activity against our fellow Christians, a transgender elected member of the state legislature in Minnesota called for more church invasions across Minnesota, claiming that this assault on religious liberty was quote-unquote essential and must continue. The revolting Marxists who attacked Christians at City's church also went after the Christians there if they were wearing jewelry or looked like they might be earning a decent living, or whether they were wearing a nice coat or not, or drinking some coffee they got at Starbucks. They attacked them using Marxist class warfare language. Oh, you've got these nice things. Why aren't you out of this church and in the streets defending your Somalian brothers and sisters? That's interesting, because usually they don't want us getting involved in politics. Let's talk about that a second. Pastors who struggle mightily to avoid politics will not be able to escape the left's wrath. There is no number of LGBTQ flags that a woke church can fly outside the sanctuary that will satisfy the left. The radical secular left is bringing the culture war into our sanctuaries, just as Marxists have done throughout history. Marxism, socialism, communism always goes after the family, and it goes after the church. How often have we been told as Christians that we have no right to bring our biblical values into the debates going on across America? Well, we have every right to do that. As American citizens, we have a right to do all the things that citizens can do. But I bring it up because this weekend, a church full of Christians minding their own business, ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper, were invaded by radical leftists, not accusing them of being too involved in politics, but demanding that they get involved in politics. But the politics they wanted them to get involved in was supporting the left-wing political movements in America. And that leads me to what the truth is here. All those warnings that we shouldn't get involved in politics. We were violating the separation of church and state. They don't want us to get out of politics. They want us to embrace their politics. They want us to not be involved in any kind of conservative issue like the sanctity of life or supporting law enforcement or demonstrating for securing our borders. You see, what's underway here is these are the same Marxists and socialists that are trying to hijack the Bible and hijack the gospel and hijack Jesus's words, trying to turn Christ into a Marxist or a socialist to justify their revolutionary demands. There's a lot of hypocrisy going on too, my friends. You know, I'm sure you realize that one of the disputes in Minneapolis-St. Paul is that, like a lot of other big American cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul have declared themselves sanctuary cities. That means they claim that the federal government of the United States has no right to go into Minneapolis-St. Paul and any one of another, you know, five dozen cities in America and enforce federal law because it's a sanctuary city. And we're all being told, and the federal government is being told, you need to observe the fact and follow that we are a sanctuary city and sanctuaries cannot be violated. But what happened this past Sunday? They went into an actual sanctuary, a place of worship of Jesus Christ is taking place in the sanctuary. The same people yelling about sanctuary cities were unwilling to respect the sanctuary of a church. Their support of sanctuaries only goes as far as it is useful to the left's radical agenda. Now, I always like to do, and I would encourage you to do the same thing because it helps fight back against the gaslighting. It also helps you measure what's the appropriate reaction to something that's going on at the moment. I call it the what-if test. And again, it's a very helpful test. What if this past weekend, instead of this violation of a Christian church's worship service, what if this past weekend a large group of pro-law enforcement citizens of Minnesota walked into a mosque during their services? What if they shout down the imam and demand to know why the Muslims sitting in this mosque worshiping were not outside supporting law enforcement to get the criminals out of their communities and neighborhoods? What do you think would be happening right now? We would be in the middle of a national media and political meltdown. I'm fairly certain Muslims in every city, along with their socialist Marxist allies, would be marching in the streets. I can imagine, without too much trouble, there would probably be rioting going on. All the cultural big shots, the Hollywood stars, there wouldn't be enough microphones to accommodate them and all the left-wing politicians that would be running to a microphone, wagging their finger about the right of Muslims to worship in peace. None of that is happening today. Mosques are a lot safer in America today than our churches and synagogues. All places of worship, mosques, synagogues, and churches should be sacrosanct. They should be free of disruption. They should be places of safety where Americans can follow their heart and soul in seeking God and worshiping God. But unfortunately, we don't have that kind of an even playing field these days. I can't emphasize enough that the main reason this happened in this church was not the immigration issue. That's the excuse that's being given, but it's not the main reason. A lot of the demonstrators that went into the sanctuary at this Baptist church accused the Christians sitting there of being Christian supremacists. Other demonstrators called the worshipers Oh, here it comes. I know what I'm about to say. I know you know what I'm about to say. They called them Christian nationalists. Look, they were just Christians. They were Christians that loved Jesus. And from some of the quotes that some of them made, they also loved America. That doesn't make you a Christian nationalist, whatever that's supposed to mean. Christians have loved Christ and loved America for the entire history of our country. No, this was a pre-planned, orchestrated attack on a church. It's what the left ultimately wants to do in a much more serious way and on a much larger scale. And that's, you could see hints of this during COVID. I don't even want to bring COVID up. It seems like a long nightmare. But you remember what happened during COVID. The left, particularly elected officials, moved to shut down churches as fast as they could. They left abortion clinics open. They allowed tattoo parlors to stay open. Bars could stay open. But shut down your church and do it now or we'll throw you in jail. Well, the reaction of some of the politicians to this was really pitiful. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey called the attack on City's church unsettling. Ooh, that'll burn your ears. Unsettling. I'm sure you remember some of the words he's used in recent days, filled with expletives, ordering federal law enforcement out of his city. He's never at a loss for words when it comes to demonizing law enforcement, but he couldn't come up with anything other than unsettling. And then, you know, Governor Walz, what did he say? Oh, well, people shouldn't do that. They shouldn't go into a church. I just want to remind you that Governor Walz, who could be the vice president of the United States right now, he was Kamala Harris's running mate. Governor Walz and Mayor Frey mocked the prayers of Christians after the transgender murderer killed little girls at the church school a few months ago. The killer, by the way, was mocking the prayers of Christians when he killed the little girls. And Walz and Frey mocked the prayers of Christians when we prayed after that terrible attack. You can't make this stuff up, my friends. So I'm happy to report that some other churches in Minneapolis, St. Paul, are coming to the defense of the city church. I want to play a clip for you from Pastor Kirk Graham, who is one of the pastors of a group of churches that are the second largest churches in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area.
Yeah, what happened on Sunday is shameful. It's a shameful attack on faith, and it cannot stand. And I'm grateful to be a part of River Valley. Our lead pastors, Pastor Rob and Becca, they've been leading for 30 years, and they've been standing up in moments like this. This is unjust. It's un-American. But more than that, it's against God. You do not want to be the people that get between God, the living God, the creator of the universe, and his children who come into his house and to worship. And so this is an opportunity as Christians, as believers, to be strong, to be bold, to resist the darkness. And like in Jesus's most famous sermon, Matthew chapter 5, we are a light to this world. We're to be light in the dark, like a city set on a hill. And so we're going to continue to show up. You know, we stand with City's Church. I thought Pastor Jonathan did an amazing job responding like Christ in a very difficult moment. And so we stand with City's Church. We stand with Pastor Jonathan, their congregation. We pray that this Sunday, their church is full of worshipers, full of peacemakers, full of those that are just doing their best to be more like Jesus. And so as River Valley Church, we come alongside this church that really has had a moment of persecution. And we're going to continue to worship. We're going to continue to show up. We're praying for every Bible-believing church across the Twin Cities and across our nation to do not be afraid. The words of the living God, do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid. Fear not. Wow. That's, I guess, really the message of our podcast today. Let me give you another expression of that, and I want to do it with a quote from Martin Luther King. Because as I said a little while ago, this happened on Sanctity of Life Sunday, And the next day was the day that we honor the memory of the Dr. Martin Luther King, of Reverend Martin Luther King. He once said this, "Cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expedience asks the question, is it politic? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right?" And there comes a time when one must take a position that isn't safe, that is neither safe nor politic, but he must take it because conscience tells him it is right. JDFI will not bow to fear. We will not be bound by politics. We will not bend to what is popular. We will not be silenced. With your continued prayers and support, we will try to always do what is right. We urge more pastors to stand for what is right at this critical time in our nation's history. We must defend our religious liberty. Well, thanks for listening, my friends. God bless all of you. Show up proudly at your church service this Sunday. Stand up against those that would threaten your right, your freedom of religion. Let's all work together to make sure that America remains one nation under God.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.